The European Council on Human Rights may have ruled that the Russian people have a right to hold a pride parade, but that didn't stop the authorities in Moscow from banning it anyway, claiming they couldn't protect the people marching from the haters. As dangerous as it was, Andy Thayer, along with Lieutenant Dan Choi, marched in solidarity in Russia's first somewhat legal pride parade, which ended with 32 arrests and several injuries at the hand of the neo-Nazis.
But the march was a huge success not only at an international level, but it also drew an unprecedented amount of attention from the Russian media, which here until now largely ignored the struggle for gay rights in the land of Tchaikovsky.
Today, Andy Thayer joins us fresh from his return from Russia with love to share his amazing story of participating in the Pride Parade and what it was like to face down hunky but violent Russian police officers and fascists.
Listen to today's show to hear what Sir Ian McKellen had to say about the parade and find out what Adam Lambert tweeted while performing in Moscow on that very day.
Plus, Sarah Palin's tour bus gets tagged.
Shep Smith struggles to wrap his head around Wiener's Wang.
Civil unions go live in Illinois.
And boy, are we mad at GLAAD and the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. Why are two of the nation's largest gay lobby groups endorsing the AT&T merger, a move that's most likely against their own interests?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. On May 28th, Lieutenant Dan Choi tweeted, "Been arrested. Release. No charge. No fine. A few bruises on the left leg, scratches and swelling in the right ear. Punched in the face 5 times. I'm still alive. Yet, overall, the best Pride march I've ever been to." What is he talking about? He was in Russia with love with Andy Thayer, Nikolai Alexeyev, and lots of gay pride activists, LGBT activists, who marched in a country that is still struggling with a gay rights movement. And on today's Feast of Fun, black and bruised and red all over, is Andy Thayer, just fresh from Russia, jumped on a plane, and here's in Chicago and here on the Feast of Fun. Hi, Andy. I'm so sorry they beat you so much.
Well, he didn't beat me, fortunately. Someone tried to throw a punch at me, but missed, fortunately.
Really? So Dan Choi, even though he's Asian, wasn't able, and trained in the military, who would, you know, a little, I'm not going to do a little stereotype, but, you know, he would probably be better at dodging punches. You got punched less than he did.
Well, he's been out of training for a while. We in the Gay Liberation Network, it's all new calisthenics every morning.
So somebody went to throw a punch at you and you pulled back, or how'd you escape?
They missed. I dodged it.
How do you say sucker in Russian?
but seriously, there is one lesbian woman who, as of 2 days ago, was still in a hospital.
Oh my god.
Didn't know what her prognosis was. A person whom I interviewed at great length the following day,
What was her name?
He identifies as trans. Yes,
man.
Trans. His name is Anna Komarova. I hope I'm pronouncing the last name correctly. He was pushed to the ground and kicked 3 to 4 times. He doesn't know how many times he was kicked. And he's been participating in Moscow Pride since the very beginning in 2006. It's been beaten up at least a handful of times, been arrested numerous
times. Why are people struggling and fighting so hard to get a pride parade, which should be a tourist attraction, in the heart of Russia's largest city in Moscow?
Because if you don't have the right to assemble, to protest for what you need, everything flows from that. I mean, the whole notion that people lost their jobs after participation in the second last pride parade that I was at
in Russia.
Yeah, and this is very common. As Anna was telling me, if you come out as trans, you're fired immediately, of course. Something people in this country know quite well. Well, you think it's in Russia, it's even worse. I mean, housing, everything else. I mean, you can't protest, you can't make any gains towards what you need if you don't even have the right to assemble in the streets. And so they've got a very vibrant club scene and so forth, which I availed myself of.
So you still managed to find time to go to nightclubs and...
Yeah, see, well, just one night.
Nikolai Alexeyev was here in the studio last time we had you on the show with him, and he said there's no openly gay people in Russia.
Well, it depends on
artists and musicians, entertainers. That's what he said.
That's right. Unfortunately, that pretty much still is the case, is my understanding. But they actually, this lesbian woman who was severely beaten, she is a journalist with a Moscow newspaper, which is notoriously homophobic, I'm told. Their coverage of Pride was like light years different from what it has been.
Was it better?
It was dramatically better. And also because it was publicly announced. This was the difference between this year and the two previous years I've been, is that they really wanted to have it publicly announced so people could get involved.
The big difference is this, is that in the years past, Moscow has banned it and said you cannot have it. Your friends and working for gay rights over there, Nikolai Alexeyev, have taken it to the European court. The court said you must allow them to have their pride parade. But then the mayor came out and said, I'm sorry, we can't let them have it because we don't have security to cover them.
Yes, they can protect President Obama and other foreign dignitaries coming with huge phalanxes of police and so forth, but they can't handle several dozen fascists.
How many people associated with the parade showed up? It says here Rex Walkner covered it. He said 32 arrests were made.
That sounds about right. I think there were actually more arrests than that because there were arrests on the other side. And I think the arrests...
So the skinheads, the anti-gay people were also arrested as well.
Yes. Our great fear was that they were going to allow the fascists to attack us and beat us to a bloody pulp, and then they'd swoop in and arrest us. And actually what they did do is that they were arresting us, but they also arrest the more out of control fascists too.
So would you say it's getting better over there?
Yeah, believe it or not, that is an improvement. Back in 2000,
it gets better.
back in 06 and 07, and in 06, you look at the footage, something like 1,000 fascists descended on the Pride marchers, and it's a miracle no one was killed.
How many this year, do you think?
I think there was probably, well, a report we had before we got to the square was about 50 in one location, but what they do is that they sprinkle out around the area so as to attack people that they can identify going to the march. And there are some individuals, of course, that they know. And so we were particularly worried about the safety of those whose faces would be known to them.
So there's really three contingents here. It's the fascists, and it's the police, and you guys are kind of caught in between the middle of them.
Yeah, and then there's people who are attending Pride for the first time. This lesbian journalist who came out of the closet literally with a Pride flag that day. That was her first public interaction with gay Russia. And that's the important thing. When you're dealing with a police state, it's very difficult to gain new membership if you can't have public events that you can invite people to or they feel safe, because for one thing, people don't know about it. For another thing, most people's political commitment to anything doesn't start out at a really high level. It starts at a moderate level and hopefully deepens.
Sure. Now, Dan Choi came over. What did he chain himself
up to? Well, hold on a second. How did you guys convince Dan Choi in the first place? Because you were here on the show asking Mark and me to participate in this year's first, you know, somewhat legal Pride celebration in Russia, which, you know, it won't go as bad. And what happens? All you guys get thrown in jail, arrested. Now, you guys were in New York City, and you went to, like, a club, and Dan Choi was sitting there minding his own business, having a drink, and you and Nikolai Alexeyev approached him and said, you got to come to Russia.
Yeah. In fact, it was the Stonewall Inn. Nikolai wanted to do a little bit of tourism. We walk in there and it's like, okay, this is, you couldn't write a script like this. I mean, we literally walk into, he was in town for speaking at some conference of some sort. And so I just sort of made it my mission, as did Nikolai, to talk him into it through
No chloroform was involved.
And the great
thing, he went on his own volition.
And to Dan's credit, I mean, Nikolai said to me and him afterwards, it's like, okay, yeah, no, I've convinced people, they've had a few drinks, and then, you know, it's all forgotten the next day. And to Dan's credit, you know, he stuck with what he said. And, you know, we did work on him after that night. But
but you didn't have to chain him up to anything.
Didn't chain him to anything, no.
Because
Marco was saying that he was going to go up there to Russia and he's going to chain himself to the Kremlin.
I don't know if you can.
The Kremlin is a brick wall, so it's a little difficult.
There must be a knob somewhere that he could, or one of those onion domes.
Yeah, but it was interesting. St. Basil's Cathedral.
You guys also got the support of Dame Ian McKellen. This is what his official statement. The mayor of Moscow is a coward. Rather than face the... This is Magneto speaking. Rather than face the fact that Muscovite gays and lesbians should be valued on par with their straight peers, he panders to the right wing. He throws them some red meat, some gays to gnaw on. As in my film... In the late 1980s, Miss Thatcher once said... did the same thing in the UK, but she was eventually defeated totally by the efforts of gay people, their families and friends, who joined together to fight injustice. I send my heartfelt support for your bravery in marching on 28 May in the land of Tchaikovsky, Diaghilev, and Nureyev. Good luck! X-Men United!
I had that last part.
Yeah. Oh, really? It wasn't him.
As in my film, Gods and Monsters.
Well, and Adam Lambert was there, too. He was actually performing. Because last time that you were on the show with Nikolai Alexeyev, he was talking about how these American celebrities go over there and perform for these ultra-rich Russians in these little private enclaves.
That's right. Elton John went there and made $1 million, didn't say anything about the banning of gay rights demonstrations.
So Adam Lambert, he jeopardized his ability to make millions of dollars in Russia by showing up and marching with you guys.
Not.
So he was at a private concert, which...
And he said, I'm not gay.
No. For whatever happened, it happened during the day, too, because he tweeted some pictures, and people are like, well, when's the concert going to be? He's like, that was the concert. So it happened sometime during the day. But he did retweet the Advocate magazine's tweet that said, Choi beaten, arrested in Russia after an attempt to march in Moscow for gay pride. A group of several activists, and then it went on. So the news story. So he retweeted that, and then he wrote... So shocked that this happened today at the same hour and same city I was performing in. And then he did hashtag major damper on things.
And he said, it's the least I could do.
Well, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. His concert, I did hear, was the same time as Gay Pride. But Adam, if you or one of your handlers are listening to Feast of Fun podcast, you've got an open invitation to attend next year's Pride. It's going to be held in March.
Oh, really? Why in the middle of winter?
Because the presidential election will be on.
Whoa.
On at the same time? What do you mean?
It'd be on in Russia. See if Medvedev gets another term, if Putin kicks him out or whatever.
Oh.
So, you know, we don't control the actions of Adam Lambert, but here on Feast of Fun, we do control the actions of Lady Gaga. So we successfully convinced her, nagged her to do a Christmas album. We successfully nagged her to make her appearance again on Saturday Night Live and flex her comedy muscles. We successfully nagged her to do a country western version of Born This Way. We'd like to successfully nag Lady Gaga, because we control Lady Gaga, is to show up for Russia unannounced, as in disguise, and see what happens.
I want her to dress up like one of those little Russian dolls that have one inside of another, and then like have a bunch of them, like the nested dolls, and then the last one be Lady Gaga.
But seriously speaking, like, I don't think it would be possible for like a major celebrity to participate in this because of the fact that everybody's getting beaten and arrested.
Well, but what we have appealed to many celebrities, including Lady Gaga, is to at least issue a brief statement of support and condemn the actions of the authorities. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's what we, actually, of course, the gay mm-hmm. Russians who did. I actually did spend a considerable amount of time trying to get to Lady Gaga through her agent.
You got awfully close. You got to the inner sanctum.
Yeah, I got to the agent. And
well, what do you want her to do? You want her to?
We want her to simply issue a video saying people should condemn the Russian government for not allowing LGBT people to congregate mm-hmm. and to peacefully protest the way it's guaranteed by the 17th article of the Russian Constitution.
She probably just doesn't know how to say monsters in Russian, so it's holding her back.
No, you know what it is? Moscow. It's going to save for her next album, where she will sample the works of Tchaikovsky. You heard it here first on Lake. Feast of Fun. You're going to hear Swan Lake or the Nutcracker in her Christmas album. You're laughing at me. We control it's Lady true. Gaga. It's going to sample a reference. I say the Nutcracker because mm-hmm. that's weird and crazy and sexual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, totally what it's and all about costumes, which is what Lady Gaga is about. And in that album, she's going to bring this up. And she'll be there for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I said it here first.
And so your buddy Nikolai Alexeev did not attend the
yes.
march.
Yes.
Why not?
Well, a few different reasons. One, and most importantly, he learned the preceding week that his dad was very ill with cancer. Mm-hmm. And with the organizers, there's been a problem. In Russia, they've got what's known as a 3-hour rule where when you're arrested for the equivalent of misdemeanors, they're supposed to, once you get to a police station, let you out within 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they keep to it pretty well, except for when they're going after opposition leaders. And 2 years ago when I was there, they treated Nikolai very, very differently from us. And in Nikolai's worry was frankly that he was going to be in jail for 15 or 30 mm-hmm. days. His dad, he's the only of the two siblings that's in Russia. Mm-hmm. His sister lives in Britain.
So I also had heard that he had hurt his foot because he was on a TV show and he got mad at the presenter and said, "You guys are all a bunch of asshole homophobes," and got up and marched out. And all the gay people in attendance in the audience also marched out.
I was there.
Did you know that was coming?
No, had no idea it was coming.
So he's got a little bit of a temper.
Well, he does have a temper. But this, if you're getting on a nationwide debate show. I mean, the way I've described it to people is it's like Face the Nation, except mm-hmm. it's got millions of people watching it.
So it's like the X Factor. It's like the X Factor meets Face the Nation.
We don't have. Mm-hmm. It would be like the most popular. It would be like 60 Minutes with, mm-hmm. you know, 10 times the audience percentage.
Okay. And because like everybody also, in Russia,
but in front,
everyone
in front
watches,
of a live it's audience,
it's a live,
in front of a live audience,
live,
right?
It's live in Siberia, and then the taped version gets aired in Moscow okay. and other regions. I mean, they got a bazillion time zones in that country, mm-hmm. like 8 or something, but. So it went out live to Siberia. We're watching. Apparently, they called on this their version of Maggie Gallagher, or someone actually worse. Who
Maggie Gallagher's the from the National Organization of Marriage?
Yeah,
the vehemently anti-gay
right.
political leader here.
Right. I mean, and this person basically makes Maggie Gallagher look like a. You know, a
walk
choir.
In the park.
Yes.
A sweetheart.
And she was accusing gays of physically attacking her daughter and accusing Nikolai of being a pedophile. The moderator was not only letting it happen, but was essentially siding with the opponent mm-hmm. who was actually on the stage with Nikolai. But it's really this guy's on national television. You wouldn't have that You didn't have anything approaching that kind of discussion of gay issues in Russia before they started doing Pride in 06. This is the thing. It's gotten the issue so on the table.
What was the thing that sparked it where he said, I'm getting up, I'm getting off this stage?
I think it's when she accused him of being a pedophile. Oh.
And then so he took his 12-year-old lover and they left the stage. I'm just kidding.
I thought you said a lover of 12 years.
Okay, is this a success in a sense that it's moving the agenda forward? It is raising awareness. The controversy over the way people were treated in this parade, this march in Russia, might cost Russia's ability to vote in the European court.
In the European Union. And just a correction, they're not a member of the European Union, okay. But they're a part of other European-wide bodies, such as the European Court of Human Rights. Our Russian friends tell me that they got more internal press coverage in Russia. I mean, I've got the papers here. You can see them on your radio.
Front page stuff.
In several of the Russian papers, big articles, photos, etc.
You know what's really ironic of this is that a lot of the Russian newspapers resemble the local LGBT newspapers here too in design.
Well, they're just closeted gay people, you know, laying them out.
Like before we started taping, I was like, "Will you pass me the local gay newspaper here?" And I was like. And it's like, that is, and I was like, no, not the Russian one, the gay one. And it's like, they look identical, except for one's in Russian, but both of them, you can't really understand them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that, just getting back to what was accomplished, what is being accomplished, this year, for the first time, they had this decision, a unanimous decision that came out last fall from the European Court of Human Rights that said that Russia cannot prevent them, LGBTs, from demonstrating. And I would compare that very much to the situation we faced in this country with the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. when the Supreme Court in a couple of decisions said that you couldn't have segregation in interstate transportation. And so the problem was there was no implementation of mm-hmm. either of those decisions. It was the so-called Freedom Riders who forced the American judicial system to actually catch up to what they had said. Mm-hmm. And that was not accomplished in just one protest. And I, frankly, naively telescoped the process when I was thinking about it in terms of the impact of the European Court of Human Rights decision. But there is actually a significant body of opinion within Russia, including in ruling circles, which is saying, you know, this old ban the gays and kick them about thing really is getting very bad for us. It makes us look like buffoons on the international stage. And so there are actually voices within the ruling party, which is
and what's the root of it? Because like, here it's obviously, you know, it's the Christian churches. And is it the same in Russia?
It's the
Orthodox Church?
It's the Russian Orthodox Church. It's the Muslim Mufti. It is the head rabbi. They actually, I believe they issued a joint statement calling upon the authorities to ban gay pride after the court decision came out. I mean, they were all united in being homophobes. Every major religion in Russia is.
Well, that's gays to bring all the haters together, unified in one thing.
Yeah.
Now, this is
kumbaya, get your baseball bat out.
I'm looking here at the coverage, and I don't, this newspaper's name is Tene. I don't know if that's really what it says, but and there's a picture of Dan Choi spread eagle.
Let me see.
With his butt in the air. And then there, I mean, but these Russian soldiers, I got to tell you, they're hot.
As I told Daniel Choi to his chagrin, something about a man in uniform has always been a turn off for me.
Turn off?
Turn off.
Oh, okay.
I've been on the receiving end of too many of them, and not in a fun way.
But you go to so many protests, and you organize so many protests, and half of them you wind up like getting beaten or arrested. I mean, at what point in your life are you going to say, you know what? Maybe I'm subconsciously attracted to this, and it's part of my sexual construct.
I bet you have the best sex after a protest.
Generally very tired after a protest, and then unfortunately I think exhaustion does not give well to efficient lovemaking, shall we say.
I mean, these Russian soldiers are like right out of a Elton John video, Nikita.
But you know? Who was hotter? Was it the soldiers or the skinheads? Or
they,
okay.
were
no,
they the skinheads were
fascists.
Ugly. No, okay. they were young fascists. And some of them were built, but, you know, you think for 10 seconds about what they represent.
Right.
You know, Russia is a very poor country, and so many people are visibly undernourished, if not malnourished.
Oh, that's
and,
so
and
sad.
And when you see, especially, well, the kids from Belarus, it's even
well, there's not a lot of
sadder.
Vitamins and vodka. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the diet is very poor. I mean, I can tell you, every time I go there, I lose tons of weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Russian diet plan, I highly recommend
it's potatoes,
it.
Potatoes, right?
You've lost a ton of weight. I'm looking at you. You look really thin.
Yeah, I lost 7 pounds in like under 5 days. I mean, between stress and really bad food.
What did you eat? Like, can you describe the food a little bit?
You know, I did each year I pack in tins of sardines because you never know what you can afford or when you're going to get. And, you know, you have to be careful what you eat because, I mean, 1 year I came back violently ill. That was actually last
year.
So
sardines was the only thing you couldn't put like burger in a can and take it with you or...
No.
You eat sardines?
I ate sardines. Yeah, right out of the tin.
They're actually supposed to be very good for you because they're low on the food chain.
Well, there's the omega 7 or whatever, and it's also it's protein. But no, potatoes and I mean
Borscht.
we go to the local supermarket and just pick up a bunch of stuff. Their bread is fantastic. American bread is just the pits compared to Russian bread.
It's thick and hearty and delicious.
Yeah, I mean it's like all these breads that you know advertise all natural, whole grain, and yet they are like just fancy
and
Wonder bread.
I think the average age for a Russian, like the life expectancy for a man, is 50 or 55.
I think it's the mid 50s now.
I mean, Andy, that's not too far away for you.
Yeah, oh boy.
You're gonna outlive. See, that's the thing is you're gonna outlive.
I told you,
I was
21.
Actually, I'm looking here on according to Wikipedia, which may or may not be right, is 68 years.
No, I know that's not right.
That is not
for
right.
Women, it's considerably older, but Russian men,
unless they've curbed their alcoholism, because like it's you know they drink a lot of vodka, and that's just gonna kill your liver.
Oh, I'm looking here. In the 1920s. It was in the 50s, but it's actually improved through the years. And after World War II, it went up.
Well,
so things are getting better in Russia. It gets better, kids. I mean, you know, is Nikolai Alexeyev going to make it gets better video in Russian?
Yeah, he may have, for all I know. I don't speak the language, unfortunately.
Life is like chicken ladder. Short and chitty. Chicken coop ladder. Short and chitty. But it does get better.
Did you have a Russian joke for us? Did you say you were going to
give us
a
sort
joke?
Of blew it already. I said, the Russian diet plan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
it wasn't
was
very.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it wasn't very.
Well, listen, things aren't all bad. Like here in Illinois, we got civil unions.
I know civil unionized.
I know it's not full marriage equality, especially not at the federal level where it really counts. But it counts for something. So today, on Thursday, what is it, June 2nd? Rahm Emanuel, Governor Quinn, and Representative Greg Harris was downtown at Millennium Park, and they did a little ceremony and married off 30 gay couples.
And outside there were people protesting that.
Really? Were there?
Yeah,
how many?
I don't know. I was reading about it. I was just glancing at the news, but it was like that there were actually people saying we are purposefully not going to get married. That's what Mark and I are doing. We are not going to get married until everyone can get married.
Everyone.
Andy. And you have a boyfriend now.
I do indeed. I'm
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Who's the lucky man or woman?
Aldo Hernandez.
Hello.
Aldo. Hey,
so was
Aldo.
He worried that you were like up in Russia and not going to come back in one piece?
I think he may have been worried a little bit, but it was more my parent and my mom and other relatives and so forth. I don't think he quite understood the whole import of what we were going into. I didn't want to worry him. So
why is it so important for you to be involved in gay rights movement when there's so much injustice and so much pain and suffering all around the world in Russia specifically?
Well, a lot of it was just dumb luck in terms of we were casting about for a Matthew Shepard March speaker many years ago. And we said, well, what the hell? I mean, this guy's doing all the right things in terms of direct action approach that we this is the way that civil rights have always been won.
You mean Nikolai Alexeyev?
Yes, yes. And gay Russia in general. And so we made the arrangements and he came over first ever. Visit to the United States, and he invited me back. And I understand exactly what maybe they took a page from the American Civil Rights Movement, or they independently came up with this notion. But what they're doing, the value of having internationals go over, is that unfortunately the world's media doesn't give a damn if Russian LGBTs get severely injured or killed. And this was the strategy behind our own civil rights movement in the American South, why they did what became known as Freedom Summer, and that African Americans were being killed left, right, backwards, forward. No one gave a damn. And so they came up with the notion of Freedom Summer. Let's bring white, you know, college kids, mostly white college kids from the North. And, you know, when shit starts happening to them, then people are going to notice. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a lot of tension within the civil rights movement about that whole tactic, because, you know, when your ass is getting kicked year after year after year, and then someone comes over on holiday and, you know, they get all the media attention and so forth. I think it's important to go with a huge amount of humility, is because the risks that the Russians are facing far exceed anything that mm-hmm. myself or Daniel or Peter Tatchell or any of the other internationals that they really are. I mean, Nikolai has to worry about being set upon by fascist thugs when he walks down a Moscow street. I mean, you just
whereas you get to come back to Chicago and go to your local, you know, organic grocer and buy some cruelty-free hummus and chips and sit back and watch Glee on television. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, yeah, I'm in paradise again. Yeah. I mean, it really makes you appreciate, you know, every time you hear like people like say, complaining about their pride parade or going, it's too, people are too flamboyant. What if we just had a pride parade where people were just dressed as themselves and showed up and just march and didn't say anything? Well, that would be the Russian pride parade, basically.
Yeah, well, it certainly makes me appreciate many things about living in this country. But at the same time, I always think about how, in so far as human rights is concerned, this country spends a lot of its time subcontracting its torture and brutality to other countries, whether directly through things like extraordinary rendition or bopping off people with missile strikes or invading other countries. I mean, that's, I think
you don't think that Russia would do it if they had the money?
Oh, yeah. I think every other government in the world would do it if they had the money. But I get really ticked off at Americans who think, oh, we're so great and perfect. And so, well, for one thing, unlike, say, South Africa, we don't have a constitution that guarantees LGBT equality. So there are other countries that, in some respects, are way ahead of the United States. But also, the United mm-hmm. States literally does subcontract its torture and brutality. I mean, they can afford to have more democracy here, in part because of that.
Is it, you know, that's why it's a little bit of pandering when the White House has an It Gets Better anti-bullying tab on their site. And it's like, if you really want to stop bullying, mm-hmm. you know, stop being a bully yourself.
Well, and come out in favor of LGBT affirming education in the public school system. Come out against all anti-LGBT laws which legitimize the hate. I mean, this is, again, taking mm-hmm. a page from the American Civil Rights Movement. There is a reason why legal equality is important, because when the government or the churches or whatever say that it's okay to discriminate, it gives license to those who would discriminate with a baseball mm-hmm. bat. And so we were appealing to the Obama, I should say we again, it was gay Russia, was appealing to all the Western embassies to come out with a statement before the pride, after the authorities had banned it, and say, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. That's all, you know, we were not asking them to, you know, to bring an F-16 over right. and bomb the country. But, you know, President Obama has it in his power to issue a statement before human rights tragedies occur, but he clearly failed to do it. He was given the opportunity over and over again by Gay Russia, and he failed.
It's rough, that's for sure. Well, I just, let me ask you this question too, because I was just hearing, reading a story about a heartbreaking story about a woman who was transgendered, and she lost her job as a nurse because the people at the hospital thought that she would freak out the patients. And this is in Indiana, so there's no job protection for gay or lesbian or trans people. But I wonder, could somebody like that, and it actually even says on the dismissal, you're fired because you're transsexual and transgendered, and you know, we can't have that. I mean, is there any way, I wonder if you could just sue them anyway and just be like, this isn't like a rightful termination. It might not be against the law, but it's not the right thing to do.
Well, and that's often the way that the laws get changed, is that people take on quote unquote impossible suits. I mean, mm-hmm. all the suits that, you know, so many of the suits that that Lambda Legal eventually mm-hmm. gets are ones that they poo-poo at the early stages, and people are, they're pissed off, and they go ahead and they find an attorney who does it. That's mm-hmm. how the Texas decision that got rid of the sodomy laws. That's how that came about. Lambda Legal poo-pooed on that. And any number of these, people get their local attorney and they fight the good fight. It gets to a higher level, and then Lambda and the national organizations mm-hmm. pile on.
After the fact.
Right. And they take credit for being there from the start.
You know, a lot of people on the internet are sort of writing about this, is that organizing protests and marches using social network tools is really a bad idea, because it gives the police and the opposition forces the number of people who are going to show up, where it's going to take place, and the names and addresses of who to harass.
Well, I know that, for example, Palestinian organizers, they will hide that information in terms of on their Facebook events because it is a security concern in terms of people being attacked. And
how are
so
they
forth.
Keeping on the information a secret in Russia, but at the same time, because they are using the internet to communicate, but not in so overt ways?
Well, I mean, I think they use Facebook is newer there, for one. In a situation like Russia or China or something like that, it's a much more dodgy proposition to use Facebook. And so I think people use it much more discreetly. The websites are much more in vogue, because you can go to a library or whatever and take a look at on
go to gayrussia.ru.
It's actually EU. They were forced to move their server because of the government was messing with them.
Oh my god.
I was like, you know, and over here in this country, we're going through a struggle right now, because a lot of large corporations are flexing their money muscle and their political muscle in order to try to control the very lucrative future of media and the internet. And AT&T, as you've heard, is trying to merge with T-Mobile and try to basically become, with Verizon, control 80% of the American telecommunications channels.
That's basically a monopoly.
All of it. It's to return to becoming a monopoly once again. And, you know, it's very, you know, it's assumed, lots of tech companies have all said that this specific merger would erode competition. It would result in higher prices and fewer choices for consumers. It would eliminate tens of thousands of jobs in the tech sector, in telecommunications, and it would stifle innovation and threaten free speech, especially for minority voices like LGBT people. AT&T has in the past stifled anything that promotes the end user. This would mean no more podcasts, no more YouTube, no more coming out stories, no more LGBT news blogs unless AT&T wanted it that way. No more grassroots stop hates. No more it gets better or make it better. Mm-hmm. Guess who today... an LGBT, they're not grassroots, they're one of the nation's largest lobby groups, and two of them actually issued a statement today in support of the merger. That is GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Association Against Defamation, and the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, both endorsing this merger, changing their own policies, which in the past, for example, the NBC and Comcast merger They said, we are concerned. We are, you know, not taking a stand on this. Mm-hmm. But because AT&T was a major sponsor of the GLAAD Media Awards this past year, now GLAAD has done a flip-flop, 180 degrees, and sold out every single gay and lesbian person, transgendered, bisexual person they claim to represent in the name of money to pocket their monies, to line their pockets, just so they can kiss AT&T's butt.
Well, the thing that bothers me about this, and in their letter, they're trying to say that, you know, we think that this merger will be great for you know, people, because, like, they'll invest the money into, like, an infrastructure, and we'll have faster internet, and it's going to be more wonderful, and, like, people are going to be able to use it for healthcare, because they'll be able to be diagnosed by things at home, so they'll save money in that way. But I'm just like, it's just, to me, it's just ridiculous. If you're endorsing something, they also, the other thing that they say is that AT&T and T-Mobile, neither of them want net neutrality. They want to be able to control the internet.
Of course
not. Now, GLAAD does not agree with that position. They think that, you know, we should have net neutrality. But, okay, well, if you hand the keys to the kingdom over to these two behemoths and they control everything, well, guess what? You know, you saying you don't, you're giving it away.
You're allowing, basically, minority voices, and you think your AT&T connection on your iPhone sucks now? Wait till this merger comes over. They're just going to sit back, and they're saying that, oh, we're going to put together all these new technologies. Well, actually, other competing telecommunications companies are bringing these new technologies already. Some of these new technologies are old technology in other countries because they haven't had political forces and companies like AT&T trying to squash competition. And so, you know, the fact that, I mean, it just, to me, it sounds like a hoax.
Yeah, GLAAD's, when I first told you about it, you're like, it's a hoax. It's a hoax.
It's a hoax.
I'm like, look, it's on this letterhead.
It's on, you know, so we wrote to GLAAD and asked for an official statement from them. Is this a hoax? I guess it's not. They have not yet responded. They have been invited to come on the show and defend their position. John Arvosis over at America Blog thinks it's a crappy move, too, since AT&T sits on the board of the organization that pushed to repeal gay and trans rights ordinances in Tennessee. Why are they really endorsing this?
Well,
it's money, isn't it?
Yeah, I understand from that they get big donations from AT&T. I mean, this is unfortunately, we've seen this in the history of the African-American civil rights movement, where corporations buy off their critics by making big corporate donations, which are really you know, a drop in the bucket so far as their millions and millions that they make. And so if they can buy off this or that leader with a few hundred grand here and there, it's a good investment for them. And we've seen this time and time again, I think, with HRC too.
I just got an email just in from Rich Ferraro, who is the director of communications for GLAAD, and this is his quote he wants me to share with you guys. He says, GLAAD signed on to this letter with the understanding that this merger will increase functionality and speed, thus growing engagement and improving the effectiveness of online advocacy work. GLAAD has repeatedly spoken out and demanded action from corporate sponsors, including CNN, NBC, MTV, and ABC, when they engage in anti-LGBT defamation, and will continue to do so.
Oh, and so when they, in exchange for that statement of support from GLAAD, they extracted from AT&T a pledge of net neutrality.
No.
They got nothing. They gave them the keys to the kingdom, as you said.
I mean,
it's disgusting. They talk about gay for pay.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know,
They're hookers.
And
corporate whores,
folks,
I think.
You really need to get on top of this, and you need to set GLAAD and the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce straight on this issue, because, you know, all the stuff that you do enjoy, it might go away, because, listen, a lot of our movement, I think, has been because of the internet and a lot of kids discovering who they are. I mean, could you imagine what it would have been like if you were 12 years old and you're like, I wonder if I'm gay. Let me see. And be able to go to a resource and be like, oh, yeah, I like that.
Well, and that's, you know? That's why, I mean, I grew up in the time before the internet, and I was in the closet, as was the vast majority of young kids,
and a lot of it's because you didn't know.
I grew up in a small town upstate New York, and this is just absolutely disgusting. I mean, it's actually an insult to people who sell their bodies to call them corporate whores, because but it's yeah. literally selling your soul and selling out your own community. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think we have seen this over and over again with mm-hmm. the any number of our national organizations vis-a-vis the Democratic Party. There
could it be just profound ignorance on their part and not understanding the role of net neutrality, and that they, because they just recently just started blogging.
They're a media watchdog group. If anyone should have any idea the role of the internet in terms of the LGBT community, these people have got staffs and staffs mm-hmm. of people, almost as large staffs as you have here at Feast of Fun.
Oh, yeah,
I know
sure.
you've got a bevy of really mm-hmm. cute young secretaries
muscular
there in the other room.
Listen, I consider all like the staff is the listers, the people that like post stuff on the website, write comments, take, you know,
shame on Glad. You do not speak for me. You do not mm-hmm. speak for our community. You should resign, mm-hmm. change your position, or quit.
No, people should
you do
cut
not
their
do
donations.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Cut their donations.
Cut the donations.
You do not, because the consequences of this specific merger coming forward are going to be devastating for LGBT voices. For amplifying LGBT voices, that phone call is going to get static and be hung
and
up.
And I'll tell you what else. Tomorrow night they have a Thank Glad It's Friday. I'm sure they have them in other cities, but tomorrow's is at Chicago. It's at Crew. I'm not sure exactly what time. You can check their website. I want you to go down there and voice your opinion and tell those people in that room that you are vehemently against this merger, and that don't donate any money to Glad.
We're going, but I'm not buying a beer. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm not buying a single drop of alcohol there, but I will definitely go there and pass out little pieces of paper and saying, Glad does not speak for the gay and lesbian community. They are only speaking for AT&T.
Mm-hmm. I would join you at that, except I'm going to be en route to Bradley Manning national demonstration.
Don't, you know, I don't need, I don't need a lot of activists. I could just do this by myself.
Yeah, no, I think everyone who's following Feast of Fun should get their asses down there to Crew and
you
give them help.
You guys don't need to come. Mark and I show up.
Oh, but you need an audience.
Oh, no, baby. I got this covered. You can show up if you want to.
And then we'll go see the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race perform.
There you go.
And at a nightclub that doesn't mess its fingers, it gets its hands dirty with, you know, corporate sellouts like Glad.
So what are you doing for Bradley Manning? You're going where?
There is a national demonstration on Saturday in Kansas City, mm-hmm. actually Fort Leavenworth, which mm-hmm. is where he's now imprisoned. Mm-hmm. They just transferred him a little while ago.
And when is he going to have his day in court?
Well,
I don't know if he's guilty or innocent, but I want him to have his day in court.
I don't know, and it is important to say that alleged WikiLeaker Bradley Manning, because he's innocent until proven guilty, we would hope. But as one who has seen the beneficial effects mm-hmm. of the WikiLeaks in terms of, the Arab Spring, for mm-hmm. example, a big fill up to that came from the WikiLeaks in terms of exposing these brutal North African dictators.
Really? That came from WikiLeaks?
Well,
the Arab
partly. I mean, there was other things as well. I mean, the intense impoverishment of people and people weren't stupid about knowing how brutal those dictators were, mm-hmm. the people who live in the country, but also exposing U.S. war crimes in Iraq and the totally cynical attitude that both the Bush and Obama administrations have taken towards human rights around the world. That helps us.
And Kevin Boyer from the Chicago chapter of Glad made a statement as well. I don't understand why the national organization Glad has taken any position on this. And I'm asking and investigating.
Well,
so he's not happy about it either. Mm-hmm. But as I'm reading about the Tennessee situation, I don't see support for the claim that AT&T used its position on the state or chamber of commerce to lobby for a law to repeal all local LGBT anti-discrimination laws. It seems that the Gay America blog says that they didn't support the bill. But I will readily admit that I don't understand the issue. Still, the issue of the merger seems completely unrelated to Glad's mission. And Kevin, respectfully, you're wrong there. And this is unrelated to the Tennessee bill. Also, you're wrong there. Mm-hmm. The presumption being made that Glad is doing this to support a corporate sponsor and that they would turn a blind eye to anti-gay lobbying and gay consequences because of the money is obviously not an accurate leap. Then prove us wrong. Mm-hmm. Your actions speak louder than words, GLAAD. But still, the merger letter is weird, so I'm asking.
Well, Kevin, I would encourage you to very quickly do your investigation, and if guilty as charged, then I would strongly urge you to publicly resign and write a public letter of protest, a resignation letter, because that sort of thing can actually force GLAAD mm-hmm. and by extension AT&T, et cetera, to do the right thing. But people need to stick by their guns if they truly are in favor mm-hmm. of LGBT equality. Anyone who's the merest computer simpleton can tell you what the internet has done and net neutrality has done for the LGBT mm-hmm. community, and for GLAAD to pretend that it doesn't know is absurd.
Hey, you know, I got to be honest, I'm kind of a little afraid because right now on my iPad, I'm trying to bring up our article on Feast of Fun and it won't come up. I'm just like,
they've already throttled it.
They do throttle some things. It's like, you know, I do notice that it's really hard to access, for example, videos on YouTube on my portable devices on the same internet connection and the same speeds that I access on my computers. And part of it is that I'm going through AT&T's channels as opposed to local internet channels to access the same information on the same speeds. So, you know, it's like some sites load up really fast and others don't. So they're definitely are throttling parts of the mm-hmm. internet. And it's only going to get worse if this merger goes through.
Listen, I want to thank all the people that have come out to support us. So I want to do a big thanks to Mark in Pennsylvania, who I went to college with. He was a real big help to us. So big shout out to you, Mark. Ryan, who's soon to be our intern for a couple of weeks in August.
Woo! Yay. Khalid. Bring your Speedos.
We live right by the gay beach, Ryan. Khaled in Belgium. Christopher in Vienna, Austria. I didn't get to spend much time in Vienna, but my father was there after World War II. He actually was stationed there for, like, I think 2 years. So he really loved it. Alex in California, who's been so good to us over the years. We met him at our first meet and greet in L.A., and he took lots of wonderful photos for us. And
he's gone to every single mm-hmm. meet and greet that we've yes. done in L.A. Uh-huh.
And what's wonderful about him is, though, his speaking voice is like Ed Brimley.
He has a rich, wonderful caramel-like speaking voice. Well,
you know, the guy that sells the oatmeal and that talks about diabetes.
You want to wrap yourself in his right. voice.
It's like a... And then Brian from Virginia, William in Pennsylvania, and Connie in Milwaukee. We hope to see you soon, Connie. You better come out to Pride Fest Milwaukee, because they're also a proud sponsor of a Feast of Fun, Pride Fest Milwaukee. Join us this June 10th through the 12th at the nation's largest showcase of LGBT music and talent at Pride Fest in Milwaukee on the Summerfest grounds. There's going to be over 150 acts, including Monique.
Hey, babies!
Ooh-hoo. Salt and Pepper.
Push it.
Leanne Rimes.
I don't know anything
just
about
it. Just yodel. And of course, Devin Green and Chris Crocker.
Welcome to my vagine. Leave Britney Spears alone. I love that I can reduce these artists into one sound.
So visit pridefest.com to get a discount on your hotel and tickets. Don't forget, it's June 10th through the 12th in the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Visit pridefest.com. They're so lucky they got that pridefest.com.
Pridefest.com will see you there.
Yes.
What sound and Mark and Fausto are going to be performing there?
Ooh, baby.
I got a dirty, dirty joke. And Pam Ann, the friendliest flight attendant of the skies, will be there. I have a fantastic cock-sucking terrorist joke that I will only say over there. So you have to come to Pride Fest to actually hear it.
Speaking of terrorists, what do you guys think about Sarah Palin's bus tour?
She is terrorizing America. Somebody defaced her bus.
Yeah, her bus had this thing. Really? We the people was the Constitution. They put up a sign that says, I the media whore.
They got that right.
Zing. Yeah.
She's touring across America and she's like, it's like, I kind of want to like run for political office just mm-hmm. because of the fact that I get to do cool things. And if I lose, I don't have to pay for any mm-hmm. of it.
And you get to meet with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a deficit.
We should become tea partier. Can you be a gay tea partier?
Well, you just go in the closet like the rest of them. That's what you do. Just go in the closet.
I want to, you know, if listen, if more Republicans and Tea Partiers had bodies like Aaron Schock, the gay rights movement would be over.
Absolutely.
Because we would throw every right that we have and every agenda under the bus just to get a hot piece of tail.
I love Colbert, and the Colbert Report really tore her apart because she was there at Mount Vernon, you know, George Washington's home, and her daughter was just like, wow, George Washington was such an incredible person. He ran this whole farm all by himself. and all his slaves.
No, they're African-American volunteers.
That's what it was. It was African-American volunteers. So she's, I guess she's trying to get some history because she's so profoundly ignorant that she's trying to just whitewash her background and be like, look, I went to places. I wonder if she's going to go to Salem where they burn witches.
That would be appropriate.
Afraid.
She might be afraid. I wouldn't want to show up there if I was her.
Don't tempt fate, Sarah. We need you. Actually, we need you to run for president. I want her to be the Republican presidential candidate for 2012. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah. 2012. Yeah.
I think she would be. What a great. But just think,
when we had Dan Quayle, I mean, someone of that intellectual stature can be, I mean, the comedians are all voting for,
You know, the funny thing is that when McCain got it and they're like, who's he going to appoint? Who's he going to appoint for his vice president? And I said, he's going to pick somebody exactly like Dan Quayle. Stupid, but attractive. I just didn't guess the sex.
You almost said Dan Choi there.
No, and I didn't say Dan Choi. But
you did. You said Dan Quayle.
Did I?
Dan Quayle.
Yeah, Dan Quayle. Sarah Palin. Dan Quayle.
It's about the same thing.
No. So I don't know. So I'm excited to see where else she's going to go because we don't know. She's not giving out her itinerary. So we'll see it out.
She doesn't want counter protests.
So she's like Mary Poppins from hell. She just kind of shows up.
She's a force of nature.
Oh my God. Well, you know, Mitt Romney, he recently appointed one of the, you know, we've reported on this before on the show that sadly in this country, there are still abuse camps, concentration camps or torture camps where a lot of young people are sent off because their parents don't know any better. And they're literally tortured and abused in the names of reparative therapy.
That's right.
Most of the time, they've been accused of being violent or drug users. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of the people who are sent to these camps are LGBT youth who come out to their parents, very conservative people. They turn to their churches. Their churches make them sign some papers. And in the middle of the night, these young people are kidnapped from their homes with their parents' permission and sent to these hell holes where abusive individuals beat them, torture them, and in some cases even rape them.
Okay, well, President Obama, if you really want to make it get better, that's something you could speak out of, about and could also actually take some legal action about.
So Mitt Romney has appointed Robert Litchfield, who is one of the big tycoons of this Mormon right-wing, you know, concentration camps, as his Utah campaign finance committee chairman. And he owns one of the most notorious groups, WWASP, WASP, which has had to
snort. I'm sorry.
WASP.
Why would you just call it KKK WASP or something like that?
I mean, it's crazy.
Just good white people like those citizens' councils back in the U.S. South back in the day.
And, you know, a couple of years back, a lot of these news shows were doing investigative reporting. The country of Mexico, Costa Rica, have banned them, have kicked these people out. They did raid in Costa Rica, and the young people, instead of fleeing to the police that came to rescue them, they were so scared and terrified of their minds. What did people do when American soldiers came to rescue people in concentration camps in Germany?
They thanked them.
Yeah. A lot of them just ran for the hills.
Oh, really?
Because they didn't know who was on whose what side. A lot of these young people, when they came to these camps, they ran. They just like they were shocked and scared and malnourished and like abused.
Terrorized.
and terrorized. And this is the Republican Party. This is Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm. It's the Mormons, too. You know what I have concerns about, too, and I hope somebody can, like, I went and looked it up, because I keep seeing these ads for these Ancestry.com on television. And I know that the Mormons are big into, like, their ancestors
genealogy,
because they have a whole bank of stuff in Salt Lake City. My aunt went and did some research back, like, in the 80s and I think 90s to do some genealogy. And I did a Google search on who owns it, and it is a company out of Provo, Utah. And so I'm sure it's probably Mormon owned. And the reason why they're so into genealogy is because they like to find who your ancestors are so that they can baptize them. So when you die, they can join you on your own little planet.
So they just baptize like people who existed at one point in time.
Yeah, and I guess there was a lot of, they did it to a lot of Holocaust survivors, and the Jewish people spoke on it and said, you need to stop this because you are not taking the chosen people to your
chosen planet.
Yeah, to your chosen planet.
There are chosen planet, not your chosen planet people. Something like that.
So I don't know if I wonder who owns it and whether they gave money to like Prop 8. So I'm going to suggest don't buy their product.
Yeah.
Don't buy Mitt Romney.
What's their name again? One more time.
Ancestry.com.
Ancestry.com.
I don't know yet. I want somebody who's that lives out in Utah to find out for me. One of you Mormon haters. Or I should say Mormon watchdogs.
What's going on with Representative Wiener's Twitter account got hacked.
Uh-huh.
And somebody managed to post a picture of his hard cock through his underwear.
Right, so it's a gray underwear, and you kind of see a bit of a bulge. Now, you know, some people are like, well, it looks like it's whatever. But, like, he said it's not his. Somebody could do it. But we don't know. Could it be his, or could you hack it? There are other people saying it is possible to hack that. There is a security flaw with this type of, you know, upload.
Any social network, any website can be hacked. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, if you're using a password that's obvious or something.
Right.
Ann Coulter had a response to it.
Well, because people are trying to decide whether it's his penis or not. And she said the issue is going to be decided in small claims court.
I was like, I almost gasped because I was worried that you were going to ruin the punchline.
No. And so the other thing that's kind of funny, too, and you can bring this up, it was on Gawker. I would have embedded it on our website, but I couldn't because
the Gawker won't let you.
Because they took it from CNN, but we can always rip the audio. So what is it? It's Shep Smith, who's kind of like that queenie southern guy talking. He's talking, and he says, it's kind of funny, you have to listen to it yourself, but he's basically saying, wouldn't he recognize his own penis if you saw it all the time anyway?
And Shep Smith was declared by Out Magazine one of the most 100 influential gay men, just to clarify that. Mm-hmm. So he may or may not be gay, but Out Magazine thinks he is.
They outed him.
Uh-huh.
They outed him. Out him.
In an interview with NBC, Congressman Wiener said, quote, I can't say with certitude that the picture is not of me, I guess he would say at the time. Certitude. With conviction. That's where I went. With belief. I can't say with assurance, with conviction of belief that it is of him. I guess that you could see something of this nature that belongs on your person or doesn't, and not have any certitude about whether it is yours. But when you've lived with certain things all your life, you know, you think eventually you probably know
what he doesn't know about. How to add that. He's just like, how do I say this without saying penis?
He was like, yeah. Hamma, hamma, hamma,
just
hamma.
Like, I think he just like saw this giant cock in his face and he was like,
oh. Yeah, he became tongue-tied.
I think Shep Smith is pretty cute. He's also one of the most reasonable, if there's such a thing, on Fox News, like voices. So
I'm not familiar enough with him,
but he didn't know the meaning of the word certitude.
I know, isn't that weird?
This guy is educated.
You know what it is like they were blindsided by this news story as we were, like, by the GLAAD supporting AT&T. I mean, I'm just so shocked about that. And, you know, it's not, I think that what bothers me so much about GLAAD's tone in this is that they act like they know what's best for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there's no discussion. There's no, for a media advocate organization for expanding LGBT voices, they're really not very interested in actual LGBT voices. They're interested in portrayals of LGBT people. They're interested in heterosexual people supporting LGBT ideas and images, but not actual LGBT voices.
Well, I'm not convinced they're even interested in any of that, because frankly, you look at the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, the Washington Blade ran a story about what each of the executive directors of these national organs, and GLAAD was number one. I'm trying to remember, it was a few years ago. Was
number
five
one
or
of
six,
what?
Number one
five
paid
$500,000 or $600,000
for their executive director. Now, how can you have the chutzpah to be asking LGBT people out there who are making, you know, maybe $30,000 a year to be shoveling money, donations to an organization that pays its executive director more than, you know, three times or two times what the President of the United States pays? I mean, that's insulting.
Even Joe Solomonese makes like $250,000 or something like that.
Joe Solomonese, the controversial leader of HRC, another sort of milquetoast political group, you know, it makes him look like he's poor. I mean, and I'm sure he's jealous. He's probably jealous of the fact that the GLAAD guy makes more money than he does.
Well, these organizations, they really are the bane of the LGBT movement here in this country. And frankly, these sort of organizations in every community, that's what makes the LGBT movement so weak in the United States compared to, say, in European countries and so forth, is that you have these overpaid executives who, it becomes the most important thing is to get your salary and do the fundraisers, the $100-$200 ticket or $1,000 ticket fundraisers, just so you can keep the apparatus going.
That's why Mark and I are joining Aaron Schock in the Republican Tea Party. We're gonna have our own tea party.
We're really gonna teabag it though.
I'm so hot for Aaron Schock.
You have to go to D.C. and you have to find out what his thing is, and you have to learn how to jog, because you're not a jogger. You got to get back into jogging.
Wait up for me, Aaron.
And you're like, let's stop in these bushes.
He's like, I'm not done with my workout yet, Fausto.
You can work out afterwards.
I want to work something out with you, honey. Mm. Pop a couple of the Viagra pills, honey, and we're going to have our own Jedi sword fight. Andy, it's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks so much, Fausto and Mark. It's a pleasure being here. I'm still a little tired from the trip, but it's great to be among friends.
Where do you have no bruises on you?
No bruises.
But you've lost a ton of weight. You look
like
7 pounds, my God.
I lost muscle.
7 pounds.
You're going to Russia.
So what else is happening in June? It's Pride Month. There must be lots of Pride events. What's LGBT Liberation doing besides marching in the Pride Parade
Chicago? Of course, we've got the Bradley Manning rally on Saturday. A bunch of us are getting into a 15-passenger van and going 18 hours round trip. And that's very important. And we're going to have Bradley Manning as the theme for our Pride Parade contention here in Chicago. It's been a lot of people don't know who he is in the LGBT community. He is one of us, and he is one of us, unlike these executive directors who allegedly did the right thing in terms of exposing U.S. war crimes and human rights abuses around the world. So he's someone that the LGBT community definitely needs to support. And so
a lot of people think he's a traitor.
Well, maybe an alleged traitor to U.S. Military and corporate interests, but for the vast majority of people in this country who oppose the Afghanistan war, oppose the Iraq war, the vast majority of people on the planet who oppose those, who oppose Middle Eastern dictators, then he's a hero to us.
Okay.
A sloppy hero, but a hero nonetheless. Because, I think that what's cost him a lot of support, I think, is the fact that he just kind of like took all the documents wholesale and put them on a Lady Gaga CD and just dumped them on.
Well,
you know, allegedly,
his alleged.
We don't really know what really happened.
Was a fellow hacker who
exposed him.
And frankly, it's an open question as to whether or not this guy just made it up because he's got transcripts of chat logs, which are supposedly incriminating. But that stuff can be faked very easily.
Sure. I do it all the time.
Well, and do you think, you know, that's part of the challenge and the problem that the U.S. government is having in persecuting him, is that they don't really have any solid evidence?
Well, that we believe is the reason why they treated him so horribly when he was at, I believe it was in Quantico, where
Quantico.
That, Quantico. See, I can't even,
you gotta
pronounce
it like George Bush does.
Isn't it Quantico?
Quantico.
Well, the point is he was being held in conditions that were similar to our own TAMS Supermax here in Illinois, in terms of being forced to sleep naked without any blankets or anything, and being isolated so as to break him.
Well, a lot of the reasons that
get
people
him to,
have quote, said
quote, confess.
They treated him the way they do is to get him to confess to anything.
Right.
Because at that certain point, when you withdraw a person for months from human interaction, their brain goes into a state of madness.
Right.
And so reality and facts are thrown to the wind, and you can really coerce a person to try to do anything you want them to. And then really what they were trying to do is get Bradley Manning to admit to something so then they could, you know, go after Julian Assange. But let's face it, even if you threw Julian Assange and Bradley Manning off a cliff, there'd be a lot more people around to try to expose corruption and things like these governments are doing, including ours.
I mean, even the former White House spokesman, who was forced to resign over this, said the conditions in which Manning was being held were outrageous, and he was forced to resign over that. I mean, once again, the Obama administration, what with its, you know, escalation of Bush war crimes in many respects, has shown what side of human rights it's on, and I spoke out about that one as Russian. I'll continue speaking out about that here in the United States, because it's something that every person in the United States should be ashamed of.
If you want to stop bullying, stop being a bully.
There you go. Thank you, Andy Thayer. We applaud you and all your work on behalf of human rights around the world.
Thanks,
we're
going to
leave you here with some fantastic music of Tom Goss. Gay guy, lives in Washington, D.C. Bear chaser. Not a bear himself.
He caught himself a bear.
He caught himself a big old honey bear, and he eats out of the pot every day. Hold on a second. That sounds a little dirty.
I told Tom he was a bear runt. Little bear.
A bear in training. He's a Winnie the Pooh. Mm. Oh, that sounds dirty,
well,
too.
Well, bear, you got to be a big guy. He's not a big guy, so he's a bear runt.
The song Seems Like Yesterday from Tom Goss's album Turn It Around is available on our website, Feast of Fun. You get it. 5% through our link goes to the podcast. Without your support, we can't do it. We want to thank Pride Fest Milwaukee, and once again, Andy Thayer.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate coming on.
And we look forward to seeing you guys next weekend in Pride Fest. But on Monday and Tuesday, almost all the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race on one show at the same time in person. And we hit the silverware, so we'll be okay. Bye, everybody. Bye. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion. Bye-bye.
Seems like yesterday that I saw you standing there. Flowers adorned your hair. Still I walked away. And in another life, pretended love, and neither should you. If love holds the truth, mend the chicken coop. Your family embraces me as right as it will ever be, and still it's a ruse. Love, and neither should you. If control. And I'm sure I could lean in, and I know I could kiss you, but it just ain't right. No, something tells me it ain't right. When I think of what we could have, oh, what we could have had, it's all our life. And across the sea, you'll finally lose your heart. The truth.